Extension number 12712, S. Barker, Reel 8.
Mr. S. Barker, Reel 8. After the roll call, Mr. Barker, what were you doing then?
Well, we had very little to do except walk about and try to keep as fit as we could, because we had become quite run down by that time, and it was essential that we keep as fit as we could.
How did you find it in terms of being difficult to overcome this desperate feeling of being caged up?
Well, as I say, that was the only thing we could do, was to try and involve ourselves in sport or something like that, just to keep ourselves as active as possible, to try and blot it out, blot the idea out of the circumstances we were finding ourselves in.
Were you worried about what your parents may or may not have known at home?
Yes, I was indeed. And this is something that I eventually found out, that I had been reported missing, presumed killed. And an officer had written to my parents to that effect, which made them rather despondent, but eventually everything turned out all right.
Did the Germans go in this first camp into a documentation system of getting your records or getting information?
Yes, they did, actually.
How
did
they do that?
Well, just by taking your name and giving you a number, which is what happened to me. I still have the disc of my actual prison number, which was 10,042.
And this was on a metal disc?
Yes.
Which went where?
Which we had to wear around our necks.
Were you photographed?
No, not that I know of. No, I can't remember that happening.
In these early days, was there any sign of the Red Cross people?
No, definitely not.
The Germans in the camp, that were running the camp, were they any better towards you than those that had been on the journey?
I wouldn't say they were, no.
Were there opportunities to fraternise as you got to know them?
No, I don't think so, not at that particular time of events.
Well, you had basically, what, one or two meals a day? How many meals a day did you
just
have?
Just a bowl of soup at midday, and then you were issued with a ration of bread, and that had to make do for the full day.
And you have very little, really, outside of yourselves to keep you entertained?
No entertainment whatsoever, no.
An evening, what happened during the evening?
Very little, really. It was just a non-event of a day, you see. You're just accepting the fact that you had nothing you could do.
Were the huts lit? Were they electric
lights? There was an electric light in, yes.
And what time was it, lights out? Or was it a special time?
There would be, but I just can't remember what it would be. Probably 10 o'clock at night.
You said you were lying on bunks. Mm-hmm. What kind of mattress or covers did you have?
It was what was described as a straw palliasse.
Were you able to keep yourselves clean?
With difficulty, yes.
Was there bathhouses or showers of any kind that you could use?
There was a bathhouse, yes.
How many on the camp would be sharing this facility?
Oh, there'd be 2,000 or 3,000 of us all sharing the one facility.
How was it organised so that you did get an opportunity?
There'd be about a dozen sort of metal zinc bowls along on stands, and you just had to dive in and make the best of the opportunity of getting in to get washed.
Was there any kind of rota so that everyone got an opportunity?
No rotas, no.
So some men would get in first thing on the morning.
Yes, oh yes.
The tail enders would be when?
Some people didn't bother to get up for an hour after others.
What about soap then, so that you could wash yourself?
They had a sort of ersatz soap themselves that they issued. So small bar to last for perhaps several weeks at a time.
Did you have problems with lice?
Not in that first camp, I didn't, no.
And did you organise a situation where you cleaned your rooms?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Was this pretty strictly adhered to?
Which oh, yes.
Basically,
yes,
your
yes,
own organisation?
That's right, yes.
Was the camp wired in?
Yes, it was barbed wire. Mm-hmm.
And were there towers or what?
The guards had the great big towers on stilts where they could say they were one at one corner outside the perimeter of the camp where they could fire down one long line or fire along the end, and there would perhaps be 4 or 6 of those on the perimeter of the fence.
How high and thick was the fence?
It would be about 8 foot high with a double fence, and then on the inside of that there would be a no man's land and then a single strand of barbed wire, and no prisoner of war had to step over that single wire or else he would be shot at.
Do you recall in this first camp again the commandant, the German commandant?
No, I don't know.
Were there any outstanding incidents that you do recall about this camp?
The only thing that I can remember is the fact that so many prisoners of war were taken with dysentery in that particular camp and died from the effects of it.
When a prisoner of war died, was there a military-style burial?
No. He was just taken out of the camp and buried locally, but I had no idea where.
What were the medical facilities in the camp?
No, very little, really.
Were they German-provided?
Germans provided, yes.
They had no medical staff from, say, the medical
corps
people?
Very little. They must have been all used up for their own soldiers themselves.
You mentioned the food. Who did the cooking?
It would be some of the prisoners themselves under supervision of a German.
And was food issued daily or weekly? Or?
It was a daily issue of soup and the bread was daily as well, because it was only a small chunk of bread, really. Would contain no more than about 3 slices.
Were there any civilians on the camp working within it?
No, not to my knowledge, no.
Well, I haven't mentioned the latrines. How was that organised?
Well, in that particular camp, there was a a trench dug, and running water was allowed to run through that, but over that there was a long log of wood supported by two or three uprights, and you had to sit on that log and excrete into the trench, and the running water was supposed to carry that away.
What did you do for toilet paper?
Use whatever you could.
You weren't issued with anything?
No.
Men were very, very hungry. Was there any attempt to steal food from other people?
There was, but only isolated incidents.
Do you recall what happened to the person if he was caught doing it?
No, not specifically, no.
You said you were in this camp, I think you said about 3 months.
Yes.
What happened next?
We were taken by train from Torun to another camp in East Poland. In East Prussia, to a camp called Marienburg. And from there, we were sent straight out onto working parties on farms.
What time would this be?
Oh, this would be in about the August or September of 1940.
So you weren't in Marienburg very long?
I wasn't in Torun very long, but in Marienburg, I wasn't in the actual camp very long. As I say, we were sent out onto farms, working on farms.
Where did you find yourself?
The first place I went to was a small village called Kleine Lesewitz, where the group that I was with were placed on three or four farms in that village, and I was in a group of two. But some of the farms would probably have three, depending on the size of the farm.
And did you sleep at the farm?
No, we were taken back to a small brick-built billet each night, where we were locked in.
And how many would there be in the billet?
Perhaps 10.
And you were all spread out on farms around the area.
Yes.
There were two of you on this one.
Yes.
Had you been issued with any kind of clothing which was marked to show that you were prisoners?
No, it wasn't marked, no.
Were you still in your overalls, or had you been given some?
We'd been given some trousers and a jacket, but they weren't marked in any way.
Were these British?
They were British uniform trousers and jacket.
How were you transported around the farms? Were you all 10 of you put into a truck and dropped off as you went round?
Oh no, it was just a village, so we were able to walk with the guard taking us round, and the farms were actually very close together.
What kind of work were you doing?
Different kinds of farm work. Such as, at that particular time would be taking corn in, and then as the year progressed, so we got on to doing thinning of turnips, things like that. And part of the winter we used to spend on their fields. They were very low-lying and they had ditches around them. And we spent winter days going up them with scythes or sickles and cutting the growth down on the banks just to keep them clean. And that was one of the tasks.
What time did your working day start?
That I can't remember specifically, but I think it was about 8 o'clock in the morning. Another job in the winter time was cleaning out stalls where cattle had been kept, and it was taken away as manure for the fields, which was quite a warm job for the winter time.
So you'd arrive at the farm about 8 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Did the farmer then take you over and supervise you?
Oh, yes, yes. And the guard would perhaps go from farm to farm, keeping an eye on different ones at different times.
So you could be working on the farm and no guard there?
No guard, yes.
He would be elsewhere?
Yes.
How did you get on with the farmer and the families?
Well, the first one, we didn't get on very well at all. He was quite a stolid German type, that it was do what I say or else, you know. Very, very strict he was.
Was it difficult communicating to
it
find
was,
what
yes,
you had to do?
It was, yes, because we had no knowledge of German at that particular time.
Did he understand this? Did he help in any way with this?
In a way, yes. He tried to communicate the best way he could by signs.
Do you recall his name?
No, I cannot remember that one's name.
How big was his family?
I think he had only one daughter, that particular farm.
Breaks for resting or for food, how often did they occur during the day?
Well, the main one was dinner time, when we were taken back to the farm and given a meal, which would be mainly soup.
You didn't eat with the family or?
No, no, no.
And you didn't get the same food as the family?
They had Polish workers working on the farm, so we ate with them.
And the food you were getting with your Polish workers was different from the food of that the farmer and his wife
had. Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Was it any better, though? Although it was soup, was it any more nourishing? Or?
Was better than what we'd been having in the main camp.
And what did you get with the soup?
Some bread. But that was the only thing we did get. It was very rough.
You then worked during the afternoon, and did yes. you have a break for tea?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And did you get a meal here?
You would get their ersatz coffee, which was rubbish, really. And perhaps another slice of bread with the margarine on it, or a piece of cheese.
And then did the guard arrive to take you
yes,
back, or did you have to work in the evening?
5 o'clock at night, he would probably arrive and take us back to our billet, and then we were fastened in for the rest of the night.
So you got the opportunity to be working close to Polish people.
Polish
How did you
yes.
find those?
They were quite good. They would help us in any way they could.
Did they show any dislike for the Germans?
Oh, yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
Were these people from the village, or where did they come from?
The
Polish workers?
Oh, no, they'd been commandeered from Poland itself, different parts of Poland.
Were they treated any differently from yourselves?
Not really, no. Just that they had a better knowledge of German than we had.
You had come to know your guards pretty well then, when they were just three of you, were you able to converse? And
no, not really, no.
When you're taken back to your billet, as you say, were you immediately locked in?
Yes.
And what happened to the guards then?
They would just go back to where he was staying, which I never found out where that was. Presumed to be with one of the farmers.
But there was no one guarding the door or anything of that?
No.
At this stage, did you realise that to try to escape was pretty futile, being so far away?
I did think it was pretty futile because I had no knowledge of the area where we were at. At that particular time, I didn't even know it was in East Prussia, and what distance we were away from the coast or anything.
Do you recall any of your companions in that building?
Just the one particular chap that I was working with, I knew him quite well. But he was from a Scottish regiment.
What was his name?
His name was Anderson. But I said he was from a Scottish regiment. I meant that he was a Scotsman in the Royal Artillery, actually.
Did you get on pretty well, the 10 of you, whatever number there was?
Yes, very well.
No problems in, you know, obviously time went on, depression, this kind of thing. Were there any problems of that nature?
No, nothing at all.
How did you keep your spirits up?
Well, it's hard to say, but I think we just accepted what we were doing and thought that perhaps the war would end quickly and it wouldn't be long before we were home.
Well, the Germans did they still have this attitude that they were winning the war in these days? And was that still being pushed at you?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
They kind of...
The guard would be full of how well the Germans were doing in the war.
Did you hear of the various disasters that were overtaking us early in the war?
No, we didn't, no.
They didn't pass that information
on
to you?
No. It wasn't until some time later that I got to the stage where I could make out certain things in a German paper that we knew that things were happening that they wouldn't like us to know.
When did you start receiving mail from home?
Really, it was about 18 months after we'd become prisoners.
Were you getting any form of Red Cross parcels?
Not immediately, no. This would, as I say, would be at least 18 months before we ever heard anything about the Red Cross.
It must have been difficult with you being so spread out that you were away from the centre of distribution.
That's right, yes.
So that on this farm you didn't have anything of that nature at all?
No.
How long were you on this farm?
I can't exactly remember, but I should imagine it would be about 6 months.
So you'd go through a Polish winter?
Yes.
How hard was that for you?
Well, actually, it was a Prussian winter.
Prussian winter, yes. How hard was that for you?
It was quite severe. It was almost the same as I'd experienced in Peking. It was very cold.
And what did you do about the additional clothing that you would need? Did they give you anything else?
No.
How did you combat the frost and the cold in just a normal battle blouse and trousers?
Well, I think we'd become hardened to it, really. And during the winter, we were able to get some jobs that were, they were quite warm working inside buildings.
We were able to move around all in spite of the heavy snowfalls, and there were any days when you couldn't get out?
Oh, no. We got out most days, I think. Yes.
Was your building heated? What kind of warmth did you have in it?
I just can't remember that. Not in that particular one, anyway. Later, I was in another one where there was no heat.
Were you sleeping on the ground or?
No, in bunk beds again. Yeah.
And you said that I believe that the brick building was in the village itself.
Yes. Yes.
Was your health improving in the light of working in the countryside?
Yes, I'd put a little bit weight on by this time and felt a lot healthier than I had been from the time I'd become a prisoner of war.
Was this true of the rest of the men that you were with?
Yes, I think that I could safely say that.
Did you suffer from any ailments at all?
One occasion I developed a boil on my stomach and had to go to a local German hospital to have it lanced.
How did they treat you when that happened?
Oh, they were quite okay about it, but I was only in, I think it was the one day, and then sent back to my village where I was working.
But the hospital staff were quite friendly.
Oh, yes, yes.
Mm. You would go under armed escort, did you?
Yes, yes.
What happened after the 6 months or so that you were in this farm?
Well, I returned to the main camp and then was almost immediately sent out to another village just about a mile away from the first one called Grosslesowitz, and there again with I think it was about 10 or 12 people we covered about 6 farms in this other village with 2 and 3 men on each farm, and this time again I was with only one other chap, and I can't remember his name, but he came from Leicester. But I knew the name of that farmer, his name was Bernard Reimer, with 2 sons and a daughter. And I found that I got on better with them than I had with the previous farm. And also, I had several Polish workers working for him, and one German, elderly German civilian, who was quite a decent chap and got me to try to speak German. I learned to speak German, which I eventually did in a small way.
So these received you much better?
Oh, yes, yes.
You said you had 2 sons. Were these army-age sons?
One of them did go off into the army.
In your relationships with them, did you get round to talking about your homes and where you'd come from? And were they asking about things like that?
Not with the German farmer himself, no. But with his younger son, yes. And with the Polish workers too.
Was the work very similar to what you'd done on the other farm?
It was, to a certain extent, but I got that I was given 2 horses that I had to look after and work with, ploughing, going out and getting the hay and getting the corn in, with a big long wagon. In other words, doing more or less all the duties on a farm that men normally do.
And was this much more interesting for you?
Oh, yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
The hours you were working, were they the same?
Much the same, yes. Mm-hmm. Except that in certain times, like hay and corn, getting corn in, you perhaps work a little bit longer.
Have the food situation improved for you? Were you being better fed?
The meals at this particular farm were really much better than what the first one had been. A more mixed diet of different types of soup. Sometimes we would have the name for a German cabbage. I forget what it is now. It's a ribbon of some kind, but chopped cold cabbage in soup, a pea soup, a potato soup, you know. Every day it was something different.
And were you getting more food than
yes,
you had been?
Yes, yes.
And for tea, was that a different meal as well?
Yes. Uh-huh.
What kind of things were you getting for your tea?
Well, perhaps get, it was just the coffee, the German coffee, and perhaps a bread with cheese, or perhaps a piece of cake.